Thanks for joining us for this weekly joint meeting of the Mayor and Denver City Council. Follow along as the Mayor and City Council members hear updates from city agencies and projects, discuss important city matters, and hear about what's happening across the Mile High City. Join the discussion with your elected officials, starting now.
Green on air button doesn't mean that we're on air. It means we're being recorded.
On air recording.
Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. Great to see you. Thank you so much for being here on the day after Labor Day. Delighted to have folks here. We are recording this right now. We had some technical difficulties about getting it up live. If you're not seeing it live, it will be out to the public on a recording, but we will figure out how to get that done. And thank you to Councilman Alvidrez and the president who are here. We have a number of council members who are doing this virtually this week while all of the city offices are open. The council is not in session for meetings this week, and so it's not a traditionally scheduled council meeting week. It is still, city's still open and functioning, and so the president and I are still meeting and others are still moving. And so we wanted to continue these briefings for members of the council, members of the public who wanted to learn more about what was happening around some of our department restructures, and so we kept those on the list for this morning. So we'll do a quick round of introductions. We'll jump into briefing for folks to see now and or later.
Well, it's just me, and I do have to go to a doctor's appointment. It's really hard to schedule children's appointments, but I wanted to come to make sure that you all know that your departments are very important to us, and it's unfortunate that it was scheduled this week, and I do have to get to my son's doctor's appointment, so thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman.
Councilwoman Amanda, coming and going.
Councilwoman Amanda Sandoval, Northwest Denver, District 1.
Great. Well, thank you all so much for being here. We're going to jump straight into the briefing so we can get those up and rolling and have those on record. I will start by introducing our team from Community Planning and Development. Brad, you want to come up and love to have you engage.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you. Thanks for being here. It is your show.
You bet. So let's jump to the first slide. This is really the overview of how do we look at these cuts strategically. We knew what level of cuts we needed to make. The question was where and how. And I think the strategy was, one, from the highest altitude, looking at the entire organization, everything that community planning and development does. And I think folks think that it's about planning and planning services, and that is a very significant component, but it's also about all the development services side, everything that has to do with investment in our city, which is the implementation of the mission and vision that we set forth in those plans. And so the organization, after our reductions, still needed to provide all of our core services. We needed to address all of the catalytic projects that are coming up, projects like the soccer project, the new Park Hill Park, and a potential Broncos stadium. We need to address our neighborhood planning services. We need to address all the hundreds and hundreds of permits that come in every single day, from small new electrical panels and roof projects and solar installations to large projects downtown. We need to support things like the Downtown Development Authority and the adaptive reuse that's going to happen downtown, and the reinvestment in downtown that we're seeing, the activation of 16th Street. All those things are core services. We also have a commitment to maintaining and hitting our 180-day permitting timeline. We have commitments and requirements for Prop 123 around housing timelines. And all those things, along with process improvements and elements of the regulatory environment that we want to stop doing because they may have been there and for a long time but have not been reassessed recently in terms of what we do and how we do it. So we backed up and really used this as a strategic implementation plan, not just looking at the org chart, but what do we do, where do we do it, how do we do it, what are things that we can stop doing, what are the critical things kind of in this point in time that are highest priority, and how do we continue to maintain that level of service for all of our customers, both city council, the residents of Denver, the investors in Denver, homeowners in Denver, all of the folks that interact with community planning and development. So on the why, we focused on those core services, again, looking at the entire organization, the catalytic project, minimizing impacts to customers that interact with community planning and development, and using this as an opportunity to streamline, look for innovations throughout the entire process. Next slide, please. So this is an overview of community planning and development. There are two general components, planning and operations, development services. Development services includes site design and neighborhood development, which is site development plan. These are sort of large projects, larger site projects, everything from a large housing project to a new soccer stadium and everything in between. The second group is building plan review and inspections. This is exactly what you would think. These are the folks that look at construction documents and proposals for new projects that are coming in for permit and that get approved. And then during construction, there's an inspections process, right? Where our inspectors go in and confirm that people built what they said they were going to build the way our code requires them to be built. And then zoning, permitting, and inspection. This is zoning permits, because before you can get a building permit, you have to make sure that it's the right use and that our zoning map allows that use on that particular parcel. And then zoning neighborhood inspection services is there as well for nuisance problems in the city, overgrown vegetation, those kinds of things. That's all under the development services umbrella. Planning and operation, the biggest component is our planning services, planning and policy. That's where everything happens from zoning language amendments to neighborhood plans to legislative rezonings. All those kinds of things happen under planning and policy to our largest plans like Blueprint Denver and our comprehensive plan. The operations group is exactly what you would think. That's accounting. That is all of the operations for our hard goods, things that are in our services contracts that manages all that in that group, and then public affairs and communications. As we looked at those groups, where to make cuts, we had 55 vacant positions to start with. So we had 310 positions, 55 of them were vacant. We wanted to prioritize, obviously, vacant positions over filled positions where we could, but also not at the expense of, am I taking too long? Okay, throw something at me. I'm close to done. We wanted to prioritize those vacant positions, but not at the expense of the overall functionality of the entire organization across the org chart. So we see that there's good volume coming in on the development services side. We are working on, about to embark on two neighborhood plans under the Neighborhood Planning Initiative, Southwest and Park Hill. That is one of the places, and I've spoken to Council President Sandoval about this, one of the places where we're gonna have less capacity than we had before, whereas when we have been doing three concurrent neighborhood plans up to this point. And we'll be still doing three, but they'll be staggered. So there'll be two concurrent neighborhood plans. We made pretty substantial cuts in our operations group, looking for places where that can be leveraged and made more efficient, working with other city-wide operations organizations and groups. Same with public affairs and communications. We made significant cuts there. So maybe jump to the next slide now, and you can see, so this is the blue are the positions that were retained, either filled positions or vacant positions that were retained. And the red, brownish red color are positions that were eliminated. We eliminated 59 of 310 positions, 19 of those were filled and 40 of those were vacant. I think I'll pause there and see if there's any questions, and happy to answer.
Yes, yeah, so I have some. So how does the, if you go back to the other org chart, so for the planning and policy and then the zoning and permitting, how does that impact the 180-day? Like, so we created a permitting office before all of this happened, right? Yeah. And if there's positions, some of those 19 positions that were filled, how do we still achieve that guarantee? I think it was the mayor had announced that we would give, if we don't meet the permitting,
$10,000.
Yeah, we give 10. So how does that impact that? So that's my first question, then I have one more.
Yep. So within development services, there are a whole host of folks who are associated with and embedded within CPD, their CPD staff positions, but they are part of the entire Denver permitting office structure. And those positions exist in Dottie and in Parks and elsewhere and other agencies that touch the entire development review process. Those positions were all retained, and we are confident we can still hit the 180-day requirement.
Okay, so then for the zoning, permitting, and inspections, those people are usually on the ground doing construction permits and site plans, and like they're integral in getting certificate of occupancies, right? Yeah. And so as we want to make sure that we're promoting growth to help us with the budget, how does that department, because it's neighborhood inspections, it's a right, I mean, not telling anything, you don't know, how does that impact? So if I have people who are building buildings and they're saying, hey, this is part, not just the time to get the permit, but the time to get the certificate of occupancies and all of that. How does that play out?
Yeah. That's a great question, because at the end of the project, that's one of the last reviews and approvals that's required to get a temporary certificate of occupancy. We have adequate capacity, we believe, with the volume that we're seeing right now in terms of across the board for residential and commercial permits coming in the door to address that need at the end of the project.
Okay. And then I think you got to my last question with the neighborhood planning initiatives. When do those plan to kick off, in the beginning of the year, like quarter one? Like, will you, how far staggered? So you'd have two going concurrently, how far staggered would the others be, the other be?
I don't know that. Can I get back to you with that? I don't know that off the top of my head.
Okay. I think that's it.
Thank you so much, Brad. Great to see you, so I appreciate your help.
Thanks.
Next up, we're gonna bring up Perla from Human Rights and Community Partnership.
Good morning, Council President Sandoval and Mayor. On this bright and early Tuesday morning.
Good morning.
Great to see you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I am Perla Gaylor with Human Rights and Community Partnerships and ready to share my updates.
Great.
We started this process actually before this past year. So in 2024, we started looking at our org chart and looking at where we could combine some of the projects and work that we do. And so I think what you'll see today is some of that work that's been done over the last year and a half and not just the last couple of months. We wanted to connect and align work by reducing silos with 9 offices and 9 directors. It was a pretty daunting thing to walk into. Everybody had like their own little office and, you know, who's talking to who within our department. And so we wanted to reimagine with purpose so that we could deliver more integrated solutions on how we could provide for our community. We identified inefficiencies in financial and administrative processes that we've been working on for the last year and a half. And we're preserving and maximizing funding directly into the community because we believe that's where we need the more support. So our strategic alignment is with 4 divisions and our citywide departments, where we act as support work for some of the other larger departments. We want to protect and provide core services. So our focus on the highest impact work was one that we had heard is elevating our aging voice as the demographics in this community are growing. And by 2050, we know that our aging population will outnumber our children, which is 0 to 18, for the first time in U.S. history. And so how do we build the infrastructure to support our aging population that's living in poverty? We also wanted to empower our community. You'll see with a new division of community empowerment, we want to empower our community with resources to impact their financial self-sufficiency and also integrating into the community if they're not from Denver. We want to explore opportunities for technology solutions. Like we have in our Snow Angels programs, we believe that there's some work that we could be doing on intake processes. And so we're looking at some of that work, which we'll get into the slides later. And then we're maintaining existing programs for continuity of essential services. So what are those essential services that we have always provided, and how do we continue to do that well? And then, of course, just as CPD mentioned, we eliminated our vacant positions first. If you look at this slide, you'll see 9 different offices plus 10 commissions that we oversee. There's a lot of work being done in the community, but as you see, there was some inequities across our agency system. Some of the offices had staff, some of the offices didn't have staff, and how could we, you know, bring some equity within our office so that we can all do the work together and also have financial stability within every single division that we offer. If you go to the last slide, you'll see where we have finessed some of this work. We combined our access for all division, which includes disability rights, it includes deaf and hard of hearing, and includes anti-discrimination. We just finished our DOJ settlement from the last 8 years at 92% approval. So we're moving in the right direction, and we know that our staff are ready to, one, look at ADA barriers, two, make sure that we don't get lost with our deaf and hard of hearing services, which has just done amazing work over the last 40 years. This was also made because we have someone retiring at the end of the year who has been with the city for almost 40 years. And so when that person retires, we'll be hiring a new director to oversee all the streamlines in that work. Deaf and hard of hearing, disability rights, and anti-discrimination. We kept intact our immigrant and refugee affairs. And we also have our community empowerment, which we will post the job description for on September 15th when our hiring freeze is over. And then we have our aging and financial well-being, where we combined our financial empowerment, our consumer fraud, consumer financial protection, and our aging division. We also have a retirement in that division. So we are going with one director to oversee three areas as well. And of course, we still kept our 10 commissions that we will continue to work with in the way that we have. Any questions for HRCP?
Yeah.
Thank you, Perla, for being here. Good morning, Councilwoman.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Serena Gonzalez-Gutierrez, one of the council members at large. Just a real quick question, and then if you have, Council President. Where is the slide decks for these? Because I looked on Legistar and I don't see anything there.
It will be uploaded after.
Can I get it now, though? Because I didn't get to get here in time to see all of this, and it's hard to see on the screen. Thank you.
So once you have an opportunity, I'll ask some questions while you get queued up. So remind me what BOA means.
Oh, Business Office Administration. So that's my assistant.
That's your assistant. Okay,
good. I share her with the deputy, and she actually does a lot of projects within the city. So.
Okay, because in CPD, that's Board of Adjustment. So I was like, wait, what's going on here? Okay, so in this new org, compared to the old org structure, in this new one, each commission had its own director, correct?
It had a staff liaison.
Had a staff liaison. How does it work now?
We are looking at, right now through the end of the year, Victoria and I will be jumping in where we don't have a staff liaison to keep some consistency, and then we will be reassigning where we have a vacancy for a staff liaison to a commission. We want them to shadow us at the meetings and see what the process is before just assigning them to a commission.
So out of the 10 HRCP commissions, how many have a liaison right now?
Four. And so I'll be working with the Denver Women's Commission, for example, and the LGBTQ, because they don't have a staff. So I'll be working with them.
Okay, and then if you could go back to the, keep going. Okay, so this one, when it says focus on highest impact work, what does that mean?
So, for example, right now our financial empowerment works very closely with nonprofits like Warren Village, Mercy Housing, and what we try to do is coach those families into an apartment and a job that pays well, and we look at their credit score and how they can budget, and so we're getting them into more stable housing and then opening up a spot for somebody that might need housing that could be living in their car. So we're making sure that we are not adding to the homeless structure, but also financial coaching to those that may need some little more help on budgeting and how to find a better paying job, how to, you know, get into an apartment that is not their entire paycheck. So we're really working with those nonprofits to support our community living in poverty.
Thank you. And then on the third bullet point on the top one, preserve and maximize funding, where, due to our budget, lack of budget, where's that funding coming from? Is it grants? Are we still getting grants? Do we still have, how many grants are we giving? Like, just break that down for me a little bit more.
So we have mini grants that go into the community from our immigrant and refugee affairs. And I think we did 10 of those this past year. And so we will continue to do some of the mini grants. We also do some grants in our aging, where we sponsor a lot of booths, so we're out in the community sharing with people all the resources that we have, so our aging will age in place.
Okay. And then explore opportunity for technology solutions.
Yeah.
So I understand that, and at the same time, you have the Office of Aging, so, and sometimes that doesn't always go well with our older active adults. How do those two work together?
So when I said explore opportunities for technology solutions, I meant, for example, we're using anti-discrimination intake in a digitized form. So when someone files a complaint, it goes through different edits of or different pings of, if it's not in our jurisdiction, that person filing the claim would get a letter that says, sorry, this is not in our jurisdiction, here are some other resources. If it is, here, answer these additional questions and a staff member will get back with you to understand your claim. When I talk about aging, so we did multiple trainings over the last 5 years with our aging population, where we taught how to sign up for a Gmail, how to look at spams and frauds and what not to open, and how to order prescriptions online, how to order food online, because we know they were the most impacted during COVID. And so we're looking at doing that again, but doing it with youth. And so we're doing an intergenerational piece with youth and our aging population.
Okay. Councilman Navid, or Gonzalez, do you have any questions?
I guess one question, and I know just kind of understanding, thank you for being here, Perla. The original, I guess, intent with HRCP was to be, you know, more active in the community, to be making those connections for people from our diverse populations, right, in all aspects of that word. Is there anything that you all are looking at during this restructure time to meet that need, especially as we're going into what we're going into with a lot of the cuts and things that are happening across the board, right, from the federal level down to us at the local level, knowing that people are probably going to need people in the community working with them on the ground more than ever?
I think, you know, what is at the foundation of our department is human rights and also community partnerships. We are not just striving to make sure that everyone is has access to the resources that we provide, but also that we utilize our community to help us with that access. We continue to work with all our nonprofit partners. We continue to provide those services. But I think one example that I can give you that really answers your question, we know that a lot of the residents we work with will be impacted by food insecurity, especially with SNAP. And how they are lowering or changing their method of providing SNAP. So we've been working with Denver Human Services, DDPHE, and other departments to talk about what does that really look like for us? How do we go and support neighborhoods where we believe are being most impacted through benefits like SNAP? So are we working with food banks? Are we working with food pantries, and how do we support them to make sure that everyone is having access to food? So I think we'll start seeing more of that, more task force or community work groups working together to provide where we think there's going to be some gaps. And that we've done that through all the way through COVID and before. So we're familiar with this kind of work, and I think just reaching out to our partners is where we're going to find the support that we need and be able to provide those resources. Our work is not changing. We have changed a few things, like we're not doing storytelling, but we are providing a service to people who actually need a voice on financial stability, aging, on what are the resources available to our aging population that's living on $700 a month. How can we help them find the services that they need so they can not have to decide between a prescription and paying their utility bill? Immigrant and Refugee Affairs, we continue to work with the community, with My City Academy in every single district, to talk about how to integrate into community and what does that look like for their safety, what does that look like from a legal point of view, what does that look like for resources. We have our immigrant and refugee toolkit online that we update regularly. We still have our Tuesday calls with over 50 nonprofit providers every other Tuesday morning. And, you know, when it comes to aging, that is near and dear to my heart. I feel like we have made a lot of progress in our aging office here in Denver. I was just at a AAA meeting, the Area Agency on Aging monthly meeting, where we talked for 3 hours on how are we going to work with legislation to make sure that our older adults are provided for. And so I think you're going to see a lot of people rallying together to make sure that our most marginalized or most vulnerable populations continue to reach self-sufficiency, but also thrive. You know, find a job that can help you pay for your rent, help you budget to save $20 every week. You know, so those are the things that we're going to be doing and focused on.
Thank you for all of that. So just to make sure I'm clear, and I apologize, I was running a little bit late. I didn't actually have this on my calendar like I usually do, but and so I had scheduled another meeting. But regardless of that, you talked about the storytelling, the Office of Storytelling is going, that has been something that has been...
Yeah, we...
So that's fine. It's something that's not happening right now.
Yeah.
And we talked about, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. I know there were other council members who wanted to know why that was getting more resources than our aging.
Yeah. Well, my question isn't necessarily to that, but I'm just going to the, what are the things that are being impacted because of the layoffs, right? So what are the things that you're not going to be able to do? And this is also, Councilwoman Lewis has also had this question. Is she wants to know what is are the things that you stopped doing due to the layoffs?
Honestly, we haven't stopped doing anything. We just continue to do it with less people. But we have the resources, and as you can see from the flowchart, if you'll go back to our last flowchart, there's nothing that's skipping a beat here. We're still working with our aging population. We are still making sure that consumer fraud or consumer financial protection is working with our people that are calling in and saying, hey, we need help. Financial empowerment is still going to be doing the financial coaching. Immigrant and refugees, we're still doing our My City Academy and more. So we just, I think you may have missed it, but Access for All is disability rights. We completed our DOJ settlement at 92% approval. Now we will work on any other barriers, but we will work with the agencies that have been impacted the most. And so there's like six or seven of those where we continue to work with.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Perla, for your presentation and for all your great work. Excited to bring up and introduce our new city librarian, Nicole Davies, who's here for her first appearance here before the council. But thank you so much for coming straight in a busy time and for your wonderful leadership in these first few weeks. Welcome aboard.
Thank you so much, Mayor. Hello, Councilwoman President and Councilwoman. Again, I'm Nicole Davies. I'm on week three of the job. Super thrilled to be here. And I've got lots of support from my team in case there are questions that I can't answer. I'd like to hop right into the why of what we do. So the library is driven by our service philosophy, and we use our strategic plan, Denver Here, as our guide, our North Star. The values in our plan outline our service goals and then are therefore reflected in our budget. Prior to the current financial situation, our team had done the work to define our desired impact on the community, identify all the unique lines of service that only the Denver Public Library can offer, and then develop operational metrics that are necessary to help evaluate and continually improve our ability to deliver our outcomes. Our core services are the things that our library is uniquely positioned to do in the community, and they are collections, a vast collection of materials and information on a wide variety of subjects in multiple formats and multiple languages, tech and internet, technology and internet access that allow people to connect and create, spaces across Denver that provide easy access to services and resource. And then our most invaluable resource is our staff, skilled staff trained in welcoming all, helping people use our resources, providing meaningful experiences, and facilitating connections. Move on to the next slide. So actually this work began in 2023. The library embarked on reimagining the organizational structure with the primary objectives of building capacity to execute on its strategic priorities. So this restructuring has been phased and still continues today. This org chart that you see here reflects the prior organizational structure, an unintended consequence of which we often saw siloed work and missed opportunities for innovation and collaboration. you'll see in the next org chart, which is our current structure. It reflects our current structure, and we're beginning to realize the value it provides in meeting our strategic plan objectives. And you'll see that we took it down from several different direct reports into the city librarian, which again created silos, to three areas of strategy under these chief officer positions. With the chief operations officer, we consolidated procurement, finance, safety, security, and technology. With our chief equity and strategy officer, we again have process improvement, human relations, communications, and diversity, equity, accessibility. And then under our chief public services, we are able to put all of our branch services and public service housed in one location. I'm happy to take questions.
Yeah.
Madam President or Councilman Gonzalez-Gutierrez.
Okay, so if you go back to the original org chart, mm-hmm. where did, so the green, mm-hmm. how did they, it, for me as someone who's a visual learner, it'd be great to see those if you go back to the current org chart, how, where they landed. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So, because I understand, I think I've met maybe all three of the, I've met all three of the under you right now, mm-hmm. but I just don't, I understand kind of how their roles are, but who, so for instance, who would be watching the bond process as it comes out? Which of those three does the bond, how does the bond fall under?
I feel like in some ways bond is under.
So that would fall under operations, Madam.
Okay.
The president's fall under budget and finance, and also I own facilities and planning as well.
Okay. And so with the facilities, are you all doing an assessment, like more of a robust assessment of needs for the facilities so that we can, I feel like, last year during budget season, we've heard that Montvallo Library had been shut down. I wasn't aware of that had happened. So I just feel like we need to have a, so just, it would, with this structure, I love the current. I just need even more granularity of how do all of the programming at the libraries that are constituent, who do they go up to? So then if we have issues, it's easy for me to email both of you so that it's all eyes on there. But without that, I don't know how which person is in charge of which teams. Does that make sense?
Sure. And with Chief Public Services Officer, that's Teresa, and she's not with us this morning. That will be all public programming, all public-facing programming, library programs, library branches, for the customer's experience is going to be on that side of the house.
Okay.
So branch services. Will is absolutely going to be focused on facilities, procurement, the finance component of it, safety, security. So again, direct public service, but more of the behind the scenes.
And then remind me with the layoff, did you have to lay off staff to get to this org chart?
We did not have layoffs, but we reduced positions.
By how many?
99. And part of the way we were able to achieve that is that we have four library branches that through a bond in 2017, we have an obligation to take four branches offline for renovations that came out of a 2017 bond. So we will be shifting those staff that we currently have in those branches while they're not doing direct public service in their current spaces. We will be bringing in them into other spaces to be doing that work.
Remind me which branches those are?
Sure. We have Broadway, University Hills, Field, and Hamden. So in
Broadway, Hamden, University Hills, and which other one?
Field. So in addition to that, while we redeploy those staff into other branches, we'll also be propping up services in those communities, both mobile, figuring out other drop points for collections, holds, things like that. Food box distribution, we'll be working with community partners to ensure those services are still happening. We'll supplement with mobile services and partnering up with, again, different entities to make sure we can continue to provide library services. And then in addition to that, we've been able to expand hours and days in some of the surrounding branches, again, to try and meet the needs of those communities while their branches are offline.
Okay. And then your bookmobile, is that still going?
Yes.
Okay, awesome.
We have robust mobile services.
Yeah, I use that often. I think that's all I have right now. Council
Thank you, Council President, Mayor. So for, I'm going to ask the same question because Councilman Lewis asked that I ask the same question
sure.
for everybody, but knowing that your situation's a little bit different and that you didn't actually lay anybody off, but that you are not filling, you reduced the 9 positions by 99. With that said, and so I'm hearing there are 4 libraries that are going offline, shifting the staff. Are there other things that will be impacted due to this shift?
Well,
are there things that you won't be able to continue to do, I should say, that you'll have to stop doing as a result of this?
I think it's going to be more about us looking at, obviously, that didn't close the entire gap of what we needed. So as we start to look at how do we find those savings elsewhere with gap closures, it is looking at some of the redundancies with technology. Where can we streamline processes? We're looking at a lot of continuous improvement services, again, where we can find efficiencies. Our primary focus, of course, was to also look at ensuring that we were able to maintain as many positions as possible. I think it's also going to be looking at long-term staffing structures and things like that down the road, but I think this helped to get us there now. I think we also have a lot of subscription services that we're analyzing usage of. We're looking at the data to help inform our decisions. Anything else we should add to that?
I can.
Yeah, please.
I can add a little bit. Hi, everyone. My name's Valencia Colbreth. I am the Chief Equity and Strategy Officer. So our leadership team that makes up of our directors were tasked with looking at each of their subdivisions to identify where they can find efficiencies and where we can do better with the least amount of impact. We ran that through kind of an equity rubric. We looked at impact to the community, and we also looked at alignment with our strategic plan. One of the things that we talked about, and I think Nicole just mentioned regarding databases, we wanted to make sure we are not impacting our most vulnerable populations. So like tutor.com for our children, we will be maintaining that. And our citizenship report support, so for immigrants and newcomers. We're looking at our collections, right? So when you think about ebooks versus physical collections, ebooks are incredibly expensive and licensing only lasts for so long. So where we can reduce our ratios, where we can limit holds without impacting the experience is going to net us hundreds of thousands of dollars.
So it sounds like there's still some evaluation process happening to determine what things might have to go away. Is what I'm hearing, because it sounds like you're still looking at databases, you're still looking at some of this information, or has that already been all determined?
So the ones that we are moving forward with around $2 million+, we are going to be implementing, and we've started that process right now.
Okay.
What we did find in this process was that we have additional things that we could continue to look at. So this will be an ongoing process for efficiencies.
Okay, so then that $2 million, that comes from the reducing the 99 positions and the 4 branches going offline, and what else?
I think those are separate. Budgetary savings they're looking at. Just to reframe, we won't have all the final dollars and cents until the full budget book is closed. We weren't asking to present today on any line item cuts. It was more about what's the structural changes around personnel at scale, those 4 closures in 99. And so I don't think that we're ready to ask them yet on specifics on individual line item cuts, but I think those are another services reduction that they were describing that would be in the full budget book briefing we'll be doing for you next week.
Okay. Yeah, I was just trying to get a better understanding of what are the things that will no longer be available because of the changes in budget that.
And we can keep you updated.
Okay. That would be great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Councilwoman. All right, with no further questions,
I have one more
please,
question.
Madam President.
For CPD. Sorry.
You can bring Brad right back up. You all can stay there, library team. You don't have to go anywhere in case you have an extra question. Brad can sneak back up.
Sorry, Brad. I was going through my notes. So I have a question. So with neighborhood planning initiatives, not moving all 3 concurrently, how do we deal with any of the like ADUs? It was mandated by the state. It was the parking minimums were mandated by the state. I think there's a couple, one more, two more initiatives.
Single stair.
Yeah, single stair mandated by the state. Thank you. I'm one of the ones working on that. I should have known. And I think that there might be one more. I can't remember. How do we work with our partners at the state to make sure to let them know that, yes, you are mandating these initiatives on us? Like right now, the outstanding one that I keep thinking about is the ADU, right? And we rezoned our whole entire city. We're the first one in the state to do it. I rezoned my whole entire council district before everyone even did it. And now because of a setback, we're not getting possibly access to a pot of money, but we have been good partners. So how do we navigate that territory as we're rethinking CPD, and yet the state continues to mandate certain things that we have to become compliant with? Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely. And with the things that we know right now, we will maintain that we have the capacity to do that work. If something else comes out that we're not aware of right now, we'd have to look at that, but we have the capacity to accomplish those things now.
Okay. So we'll just have to follow the state this session really closely. I have my councilwoman who's appointed to that working group here with me to see how does that impact us, because that parking minimum, that was a lot. That was a huge process for the city and your staff and Dottie.
That actually saves us time. I mean, I can't tell you how many hours we spend telling folks how many parking spaces or confirming their calculations on how many parking spaces they need. That's something we don't do anymore. That actually saved us time.
Okay. So even though it put time on the front end, on
yes.
the back end, you can say that, like, in the equation of hours spent for city staff, it will actually save us time.
Absolutely.
As we move forward. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, sorry about that. Thank you. That was my last question.
Can I ask a question? I'm so sorry, Brad, that I missed your presentation. You went really fast, but I was racing here. Not too fast. I was going to but I'm just looking at the short presentation here, and just a quick question about, I need to ask the question I need to ask that I asked everybody for Councilwoman Lewis, which was essentially, you know, what are the things that that are, as a result of the layoffs, what are the things that your agency will no longer be able to do?
There's nothing that we will stop doing that we don't intentionally want to stop doing. We have been looking at systems improvements, a lot of things. We have a just stop it list with over 100 items on it right now. I really engaged all of our teams and our managers and supervisors to look at what are the things we're doing that are either no longer creating value for implementation of our mission and vision of our plans for the city, or serving our customers. And there were a lot of those. And so, and things like the parking minimum requirement going away, there are many other places where we have savings. The places that, so there's nothing we're gonna not do anymore. Some of it is going to not happen as fast. Neighborhood planning initiative, which started the last time I was here in this position, we set out, and originally it was designed to do two concurrent neighborhood plans. Before it actually started, it was ramped up to three. We'll be going back to two concurrent plans. That third one will get staggered a little bit, which I will tell you also, I don't think folks are gonna really notice that, because they've always just naturally staggered. They don't all commence on the same day and finish on the same day. So that stagger will just have to be assessed based on what staff resources we have for those NPI plans.
Okay, thank you. And then my second thing, so you have on here, I lost it, let me grab it back up. Oh, there it is, okay. So the piece about looking at, innovations and efficiencies. So are you open to ideas?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We're taking them from all directions. One thing we found is that we have that the city has such great GIS information about all of our addresses. We've found a software platform, and we're soft launching it right now, that will help our inspectors route their day more efficiently. We're seeing, and this sounds too good to be true, but it is true. We're seeing over 30% time savings in just drive time. And so that is reducing carbon emissions. It's less wear and tear on vehicles, and our inspectors are getting through their routes more efficiently. So there are many, many places that we're able to do it. Do you have some ideas you would like
to suggest? Yeah, well, I mean, I think one thing, I could talk to you offline about it, but is like the ADU piece and having like a template. And I think we've seen things happen like in Montrose and other jurisdictions where they have a template, and it does save saves people who are, you know, if they're a homeowner and they're trying to build an ADU, it saves them time and money from having to like go through this long process each and every single time. So having kind of a format that's ready to go.
And I know Renee Martinez Stone has done a lot of work with that as well. I know they created some templates.
But it's not accessible to everybody.
Right. Understood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a great suggestion.
Okay. I don't think I have any more questions. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, members of council. Thank you so much to our wonderful agency heads who are willing to come, and thank you for your presentation. We will have these online for any other council members in the public who want to be able to look at them. So thank you, and we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Change item.